From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hey everyone, it's Billy from Gay PHX. Happy Pride Month, Phoenix. And before we get started, we want to send out a huge congratulations to Stephen Land on being crowned Mr. Newtown 2026. Stephen's someone we've had the pleasure of working with, and we're always excited to see members of our community step into leadership roles. We know he's got a big year ahead of him. We're looking forward to having him on soon to talk about his title, his goals for the year, and Nightburn Men's Warehouse Party coming July 3rd. 2 party buses, 6 DJs, and a night designed for the men of our community to come together and celebrate. Today, we're also shining a spotlight on Arizona's independent film scene as we sit down with filmmaker Michael Entity and actor James Yaw to talk about Barrett. It's a story about family, loss, redemption, loyalty, and what happens when protecting the people you love becomes the most important thing in the world. The film premieres this weekend, and after spending time with its creators, we knew it was a conversation we had to share with you. But first, there's a lot happening across the valley as Pride Month continues, and nobody keeps a closer eye on what's happening on our community than my husband, Brian. So let's hand things over to Brian for this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix, put down the remote, close the delivery app, and text that friend who's always says, let me know what's going on this week. Because, baby, this week we've got tacos, karaoke, bears, documentaries, cocktails, community conversations, and enough pride energy to power the entire Melrose District. We're talking a night where healthcare workers get celebrated the way they deserve, a film discussion that reminds us why our voices matter, and a gathering of bears that proves once again that some of the best communities are built around good food, good drinks, and really good hugs. And if you're looking for an excuse to get out of the house, congratulations, Daddy found 3. This is Brian's Hot 3, your glitter-coated, community-approved Desert Den Daddy's guide to where you need to be this week. Hot pick number 1, bingo and karaoke as part of the 30 Days of Pride at Charlie's Phoenix. It's on Wednesday, June 24th at 6 p.m. This week, Charlie's is showing some love to the people who spend their day taking care of everyone else. Healthcare Workers Appreciate Night brings together bingo, karaoke, drinks, tacos, and all the chaotic energy that only Charlie's can provide. 2-for-1 drinks, dollar tacos from 7 to 10, bingo from 7 to 9, and karaoke from 9 to 2 in the morning. Let's be honest, after a couple of cocktails and a few rounds of bingo, everybody suddenly thinks they're Beyonce. Some people leave with prizes, some people leave with new friends, and some people leave wondering why they agreed to sing that song in front of a room full of strangers. Part of Charlie's 30 Days of Pride celebration. Hot pick number 2, Lookout Summer of Solutions. Can't shut us down at the Kitchen Royale on cocktails. Now let's switch gears for something a little deeper. Lookout Summer of Solutions comes with Can't Shut Us Down, an evening focus on understanding how queer voices are being erased throughout history and what we can do to push back. The evening's features a screening of Celluloid Closet, followed by a community discussion. Because visibility doesn't happen by accident. Representation doesn't happen by accident. And every generation has to fight for the stories that they deserve to be told. If you have never seen this landmark documentary, this is a perfect opportunity. And if you have, you'll probably discover something new when viewed through today's lens. Come for the film, stay for the conversation, leave with something to think about. Hot pick number 3, Beer Encounters at the Royal Kitchen and Cocktails. Friday, June 27th at 6 p.m. The bears have officially settled into their new den. Beer Encounters continues at the Kitchen Royale and Cocktails, bringing together one of the valley's friendliest communities for an evening of food, drinks, music, and connection. Live DJs spinning throughout the evening, full restaurant menu available, no cover, it is a 21-plus event. Whether you're a bear, a cub, an otter, admirer, ally, or simply curious about what all the fuss is about, this is one of the easiest ways to meet people and get connected. Same great crowd, same great energy, just a new base. And let's be real, every time a room full of bears gets together, somewhere in Phoenix, a chair starts getting nervous. Phoenix, this is one of those weeks that reminds us exactly why community matters. It's celebration of people who care for us, It's protecting the stories that came before us. It's gathering around a table, a bar, a movie screen, or a dance floor, and remembering that none of us have to do life alone. So say yes to the invitation, go support something local, meet somebody new, and maybe give yourself permission to have a little fun while you're at it. I'm your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, reminding you that Pride isn't just something we celebrate once a year. It's something we build every time we show up for each other. You are seen, you are valued, you are wanted, and if you've made it this far, thank you. Because this community, this podcast, and everything we do at GayPHX only exists because of amazing people like you who keep showing up, listening, sharing, and supporting local LGBTQ+ spaces. We love you, Phoenix, and if you see us out and about this week, come grab a selfie with us. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you are self-employed, measure your home office square footage now. You need an accurate number for the deduction, and guessing later is risky. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, what happens when the person at the center of a story happens to be queer, but that's not the story? This isn't about coming out. It's not about labels. It's about something deeper, something universal, family, the kind you're born into, the kind you build, and the kind that you'd absolutely do anything to protect. And when that protection fails, what does justice look like? What does vengeance cost, and how far will you go when everything you love is on the line? There's a new film stepping into that space, gritty, emotional, and driven by a hero who doesn't fit the mold, but doesn't need to. This is about strength, loyalty, and the line between protecting what's yours and avenging what's been taken. Please welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, James Yaw and Michael Entity from the movie Bear. Howdy, guys.
Thank you for that awesome intro, by the way. You got a great radio voice. I got to tell you that right now.
Thank you very much. All right. So, Michael, first, just give us a quick rundown who you are and say your name so everyone knows.
Yeah. So my name is Michael Tracy, but most people know me as Michael Entity. People always kind of go, is that actually your last name? I'm like, no, my parents weren't hippies. I do actually have a normal last name. But I'm 26 years old. I live here in Chandler, Arizona, and I work as a plant foreman at a school, and I use that money to pay for the career I hopefully want to do eventually.
Which is make movies like this, I assume.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, and James, yourself, who's no stranger to the podcast?
No stranger to the Gay PHX audience, I would hope. But I am, and I don't know how old I am because I can't do the math. But I work for the state of Arizona at this point to pay the bills, but I am an actor, and that's what my real passion is. And I'm just thrilled to be doing this interview today.
Excellent. Michael, what sparked the idea for Barrett?
So it's funny. Writing this script was interesting because I'm a straight man, obviously. So it's kind of hard for me to write the story of an experience that I can't really relate to. But I've always been a big supporter of the LGBT community. And I wanted to write a story about somebody going through that, because there's plenty of movies about people discovering themselves, people that come out, and there's repercussions. But some of them are good. And nowadays, a lot of them are just, sometimes I always feel like it's just forcing the message and it's not doing it very subtly. So I wanted to tell a story like that, but also tell a story about redemption, where it's not just the character is gay, but it's a character that has a lot of demons that's hiding within him. And that's what I was going for. And actually, the script for Barrett was actually a combination of two separate stories that ended up combining into one big giant script, which is, of course, Billy, why the movie was so damn long.
Yes. And how do you balance those elements without losing the emotional core?
It's basically just like knowing when the right time was to show Barrett's backstory as far as flashbacks. Because so basically the two separate stories where it was one story about a guy who was gay and falls in love with a black guy and he has a family of KKK members. Spoilers, whatever.
That's kind of laid out at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the other story was about a guy named Barrett who befriends a young kid named Angel and so on and so forth. But I decided to combine both of those stories to add a little bit more of a darker tone. Because originally, Barrett was just going to be like a military veteran. And for me, I'm like, you know what? I feel like we've seen that before. And even though it still could have worked, I feel like we've definitely seen that before. So Barrett's still a military guy in the movie, but it's not really part of his character. And I wanted to add a lot more. What, other than being in war, what's something that could really be a total toll on this character? And I felt, oh, maybe I should combine two of the stories. And that's how it came to be. I wrote the script within about 3-4 months. And I reached out to James because me and James, we had worked together previously. We worked together on a film I wrote called Riley. We also filmed a scene for a horror movie I did, which unfortunately got canceled because the footage got completely lost for reasons I still have no idea why. And I reached out to James and I said, hey, yeah, I have this script for this film named called Barrett. And I told him the central plot of it. And he said he was interested. So a couple of days later, we met at a Starbucks. I told him about everything. I've even asked him like his experience being a gay man because I knew of it. And I was like, hey, man, I think you'd be really perfect for this role. And he read it literally right when he got home, messaged me immediately, said, I loved it. And it just kind of came to be.
That leads right into my question for you, James. Your first reaction.
My first reaction to the script was the idea of being able to play a hero and not a soft-hearted hero, but like a Clint Eastwood-style hero. That kind of a tough guy, gritty, take no prisoners a guy. And, oh, hey, by the way, he's gay. I can't remember that ever being done before. And I loved the whole idea of being able to put aside the fact that you're gay and just be the hero. And I love that. It really spoke to me.
And Michael, how did you shape Barrett as a character? Were you thinking of him as a hero and anti-hero, something kind of in between?
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously you've seen the movie, Billy, and obviously I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. But Barrett's a very complicated character, especially when you find out his backstory. He's a very complicated character, and I wanted to be able to shape him as a character to the point where, even though I've always hated this saying, and it's been happening over the recent couple of years, as you guys know, like whenever a character is introduced as being gay or trans, it's automatically considered woke and people say it's garbage. I've never understood that turmoil because there have been gay characters in movies and shows before, but it seems like the past couple of years, it's now just considered woke. And for me, I wanted to be able to tell a story like, well, make Barrett a character where it's not entirely a part of his personality. It's not just, hey, I'm Barrett, I'm gay. That's not all it is.
Right.
He's a character that has a lot of demons, has done a lot in life, but he just so happens to be gay. And he's a character that doesn't, because funny enough, I actually very loosely wrote the character of Barrett based off of my old boss, who I won't name. And he's a great friend of mine. He's like in his mid-40s. He's an incredible human being. And he is a gay guy, and he grew up as a Mormon. And he had 4 kids. And when he came out as gay, he had a hard time because his ex-wife, who was also Mormon, refused to let him see his kids. And it's funny because when you meet him, even though I know they say people have a gaydar, you would never ever guess in a million years that he's gay.
Right.
He's just a very tough looking guy who's also a former police officer. So I based that mentality and attitude off of him to the character of Barrett. And that's how I wanted to shape Barrett as a character. Somebody that doesn't really come across that self, even though people know exactly who he is. It's made very clear that everybody in this town knows who Barrett is, but people respect him still in a way. And I apologize, I do talk a lot. I get really passionate about this stuff, but
you're
that's kind of how I wanted to shape Barrett as a character. Somebody who really just is an introvert and presents himself a certain way. And that's kind of how I say it. James, funny enough, James knows the character better than I do, even though I wrote it. So that's one thing I'll say.
Well, I'll say this. I know the character. I've met this character. I know this person. I grew up around this person. So it was a real character for me when I watched this. I could relate it to some people in the Midwest that I know that are very closeted. And you would never guess a gay because that's where they live and that's the existence that they have. And it is also the thing that always reminds me when people say that they love seeing me live to my fullest. I know what they mean. I understand. I didn't for the longest time, but then I thought back to the people who can't. And so that's why when I was watching this, I was like, oh, this feels very real. This feels very tied to people that I could I could see this happening to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how do you guide the tone of a film between being gritty and emotional, but still being grounded like this? It's
just to make sure that everything can feel believable. It's funny because when I wrote the script, it's one of those things where when you write a script, sometimes like when you're just in the zone and you're typing, you don't really think of maybe some of the things you typed before. Maybe you look back at a script and you're like, oh, wait, that doesn't really make any sense. There's actually a part in the film, which we'll kind of get into, that involves the flashback scene where with Barrett and Carl, and then Carl gets attacked by Barrett's family, his brother and his friends. Actually, earlier in the script, it was actually supposed to be where Barrett's brother's friends knocks on Carl's door, and then his father answers, and then they convince Carl to come out, and then they kidnap him. But then I thought, actually, that doesn't make any sense, because if these people are known for being Klansmen in this small town, why would they allow their son to come out?
Why would they answer the door?
Exactly. Like when we see that person. So I was like, no, that does not make any sense. So I talked to James, even though he wasn't there for filming because it was a flashback scene. I said, hey, James, how do you feel about this scene where they find that little heart card that Carl made? And I felt like that was a more holy crap kind of moment, because like all you have is that scene where obviously my little fun cameo that I had a fun time doing, where I'm playing one of the rednecks and where I'm yelling at them, and then you see Casey's girlfriend come out of the room and she's holding that card that Barrett's boyfriend Carl wrote for him. I felt like that was a more interesting way to do that scene. So that was one of the things
I thought that was a great way to do that. I really did.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So that I would say that was the hardest part of trying to keep it grounded in reality, to make it seem like that all this stuff can be believable. So we definitely had to kind of bob and weave and go back and think, I don't think that would happen. I don't think that would happen. And even James and my cinematographer Angel, they were like, what if we did the scene that way? And I'm like, you know what? That's actually a better idea. So that's the nice thing about having not just actors and filmmakers that are just there for a paycheck, the ones that are actually passionate, they'll actually give like their advice and go, maybe that could be better a different way. So that was the way to do it. It wasn't just me. It was James and our cinematographer, Angel PV.
So James, how would you describe Barrett in your own words?
To borrow a little bit from what Mike has already said, Barrett is a very complicated guy. He spent a very long time in the closet because he was in the military. He came from the military, and he never explicitly says it in the course of the film, but he was in the military during the whole don't ask, don't tell thing. And so he was never really allowed to be who he really was that whole time. And then when he got out of the military, he was able to come back to this little tiny town where everybody knew who he was and what he was, and he didn't have to hide anymore. And so I think Barrett is just one of those guys that wants to be kind of left alone and is just comfortable in his own. He's comfortable in his own skin for sure. And he's finally found a safe place. And the beauty of this script is that when he's introduced to the character Angel, he is no longer comfortable in his environment, because now suddenly he is this mentor, this big brother / father figure, and he's not used to that. So he has to struggle with that. He has to find that in himself. And it's quite cathartic.
And was there a scene that pushed you harder than others?
From an emotional standpoint, all right, from a physical standpoint, I'll go here. I don't smoke. As an actor, I don't smoke, but Barrett does. And I made the decision very early on in the process that as long as I was going to be Barrett, I was going to be Barrett. So while I was on set, I smoked. I actually quit smoking about 10 years ago. There's a scene where I do this kind of emotional admission to my friend Daryl in the film, and I tell him about what happened with Carl. And during the filming of that, I smoked probably half a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And it was the day that they broke the heat record in Chandler that we filmed that.
Yeah, that was not a fun day.
I was hot, I was dehydrated, and I was on a serious nicotine buzz. And I got home from filming that day, and I was so sick. It killed me that day. But I felt like without that realism, without the actual smoking that was happening, and it sounds silly if you're not an actor, but without Barrett actually smoking in that scene, it wouldn't have felt real. So from a physical standpoint, that was probably the most difficult scene that I had to deal with. From an emotional standpoint, there's a couple of scenes with Andy where I break down, and those were very emotionally taxing.
And what's it mean for you to play a queer hero in a story that's not the central focus as far as being queer?
It's about time. This is what we've been fighting for a long time, is to be cast in these kind of roles and not have it be that important that you happen to be queer. You can be the hero, and it doesn't matter who else you are. And I loved that about the script, because it wasn't pushing an agenda or anything like that. It was, hey, he's the hero.
This is a character attribute. This is not a political movie. This is not a, spoiler alert, this is not a fight for your rights movie. This is a movie that, like I said, is about family and the confrontations that happen in life. And it just happens that one of the characters is gay.
Exactly that. And that needs to be the afterthought, not the primary attribute. You know what I mean? If you can accept a black man as the hero in a film, then you can certainly accept a gay man as a hero in a film. And it doesn't matter that that man is gay and this man is black. They're just the hero.
It maybe helps with their backstory, which it does in this case, but is not central to what is happening in the movie itself.
Yeah. And to that point, I think the fact that Barrett is queer changes the way that he deals with Angel in the film, because he knows what it's like to not be accepted and to have to hide and to have to deal with all of those all that emotional baggage, either healthily or not healthily, either deal with those things the right way or the wrong way. And he sees in Angel what was happening to him, that he was dealing with it the wrong way, and he's trying to save him from that.
So what moment during the filming made you guys go back and go, this is something special?
Oh, wow. It's funny because every now and then I have sent Angel and James clips from the movie. You know what, James, I'll have you answer this one first, because that's a hard one. What scene or what do you remember from filming that really answered Billy's question?
There is a scene with Andy where I where Barrett really breaks down, and he just admits the fact that every time he gets close to something, something bad happens. And he admits that he's terrified. He's terrified that he's getting close to this kid that he's kind of been made responsible for, and he feels it starting to happen again. I let myself care about this kid, and now look what's happening to him. And I just remember the very first take that we did of that particular scene. We finished the scene, and nobody said anything. Mike didn't even say cut. It's like, we finished the scene, and it was just dead silent in the room.
Yeah.
And my actor brain is going, did I forget a line? Is there something that I didn't do that I was supposed to? And then our sound guy, Nick, he's, wow, I didn't expect that. And that's when I felt it, that this guy needs an audience. Barrett needs to be seen. And I'll never forget that day.
I would say there's so many powerful scenes in this movie. It's hard to choose one. But I will say the one scene that I feel like really painted it an interesting picture was, even though it's one of the hardest scenes to watch in the film, it's specifically the scene where Carl and Barrett are having the conversation at the junkyard. And Barrett's family comes, they attack Carl. And like Barrett is trying to restrain himself from one of the rednecks played by me, funny enough. And and the scene where he wakes up and he's almost basically crawling over to Carl. I watched that scene and it's funny because even though it's one of those things where like when I watch this movie, because I've seen the rough cut many times, I'm not emotional about it. I don't cry like I know some people might in the theater, which I hope so. But specifically that scene, even when we filmed it, when it was just the raw footage and we were just there, I was just like, holy freaking shit. I don't know if I curse on
you
here.
Yes.
I don't even know if I already cursed to begin with, but whatever, it doesn't matter. But no, that scene, and even when we edited it, I was like, oh my God, I can only imagine people's reactions. I can only imagine your reaction to that scene, Billy.
It was, how do I say it without, I'm not a crier when it comes, but I was very emotionally moved and I watched my husband carefully and I thought he was about to cry. I'll say that.
Wow. So, but yeah, I would say that was the scene definitely that made me go, wow, this movie is going to be really something special.
And what did James bring to the role that maybe you didn't even see on the page when you were writing it?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm trying to think because it wasn't one of those things where I wrote the role specifically for James, but as I started to finish more of the script, that's when it kind of came down to, because I knew James has told me his story before. I knew a lot of the things he experienced in life. And while not all of it is exactly what Barrett went through, him being in the military, not being able to come out as gay in the 80s, I felt like that was just a very powerful thing. And there were certain things that James would do specifically like whenever James would get angry in some scenes. There's one scene in particular, like the scene he was talking about where him and Andy are talking and he kind of has this breakdown. It's specifically when he yells at Andy and he was like saying, you agreeing to these hookups is not my fault. I was just thinking, wow. Like I said, James has told me his story. I don't know every detail about it, but just from that, I kind of thought like, in my head, I'm like, I wonder if James at one point ever had like something like this, maybe when he was younger or something. And I don't know, there was just something about it that kind of made me read a little bit off of James's mind more. Every time he would do a scene that involved him getting angry, I just felt like, this doesn't feel like acting. This feels like some pain that he's probably gone through. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, James, of course, but I thought like it was just fantastic the way he did those scenes.
There's an old axiom in the world of acting that says, never let them see you act. So if you didn't know I was acting, then I was doing a good job.
Absolutely.
And honestly, if I could chime in on that, there's an air of authenticity, because as an actor, you do draw on personal experience and traumas that you've been through. And the way the character was written, it was so easy to find a moment in my life that I could use that added authenticity to a scene. And I appreciate Mike for giving me the opportunity to play this part.
And I'll say that's one of the scenes that made this real to me, because that is not one I've lived. That's one I know several of my friends have lived and heard. And I know this scene all too well, unfortunately.
Yep. And that's what we're trying to bring. That's what I feel anyway, as an actor, that's what I tried to bring to the role, is that connection where people that watch this will see a little bit of themselves in several different scenes and be able to take that with them.
And why is now the right time for a story like Barrett?
You want that one, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's just because even though we live in a world where people will still say nowadays being gay is more accepting, and I guess to some degree, sure, but even then, it still really isn't. And like I said, that's why it was hard for me to write this story. And I even had James help me with certain things because, like I said, I'm a straight man. I don't know what it's like to live in a gay person's shoes. But when I wrote everything, James kept telling me, you know, you did it perfectly. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. I just feel like it's just a right time to tell this story because it's a story that always works in media. I remember a couple years ago, without getting too much off topic, there was a movie that came out that blew me away and nobody saw it. It was a very small film. It was called Joe Bell with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
it was very powerful. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's a powerful film. It's based on a true story about this Southern dad who had a son that came out as gay and he was bullied in high school so bad that unfortunately he ended up killing himself.
Oh.
And after the news broke out, it was huge, specifically in, I think it was in Georgia is where it happened. It was like in 2013, I believe. And the father, Joe Bell, decided to go on this walking journey where he walked all the way from Georgia to New York City. And every time he would walk, he would make a stop at a community center or a church or a school and talk about his son's story about how his son was bullied so bad for being gay that he killed himself. And then unfortunately, while he was also walking back from New York, he was unfortunately struck by a truck and killed.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the most, because I've seen a lot of the LGBT films. Some of, like I said, some of them are good. Some of them are corny. Let's just put it that way. Sometimes they never know how to get the message out there. It's just, hey, this character's gay, accept him. That's really just all they do nowadays. But Joe Bell was such a deep story about, like, you know, especially taking that from a parent's point of view, because most movies like that are usually from the kid's point of view, like trying to explain to their parents that they're gay. But the fact that this story was being told through a parent's point of view, I thought was so powerful. And that movie, like I said, that movie changed my life. Again, I don't want to get off topic, but if anybody listening to this podcast hasn't seen Joe Bell, please, it is a must see. And I just feel, like I said, it's a story that just continues to work every single time. And I feel like, and because obviously even just coming out isn't the only theme of Barrett. The movie also tackles childhood trauma. It tackles racism in the 1970s and stuff that we still see today. Of course, the scene with Barrett where he comes in contact with that drunk guy and he's saying all these racial slurs and homophobic slurs and all that stuff. So it's still a thing that still happens today. And I know there's so many people online that'll say, no one cares you're gay. And we don't care that you're gay. It's you do.
Right.
You do. You keep saying that all the time. We don't care that you're gay, but you do.
But you keep pointing it out.
Exactly. Yeah, just from you saying that. Exactly. So I just feel like it's a story. There are certain stories that need to keep being told, whether it's a story about racism back in the day or whether it's a story about somebody coming out and not being accepted. It's a story that will forever need to be told no matter what.
And Michael, for the record, I don't care that you're straight.
We're not going to hold that against you.
Right.
I've become fond of some pictures of Ryan Gosling before, but I think that's
bad. When does the movie come out? How can people start actually consuming it? When do they get to enjoy what I've enjoyed?
So the premiere is going to be on June 27th at Pollock Cinemas. It's Pollock Cinemas is down on McClintock and Elliott in Tempe, Arizona. The movie starts at 5 p.m., the reason it's early because it is a long movie. So we wanted to make sure we could have the theater for as long as we can. And then as far as streaming goes, we don't have a confirmed date for that because I actually want to put this into film festivals. I did my first film, Dark Cherry, which James also had a small role in. We premiered that and we ended up kind of just releasing it on Blu-ray. I made Blu-rays myself, but I felt like for Barrett, no, I feel like more people should see this. And I don't want to put it on physical just yet because they're very strict about film festivals, about stuff being out in public. So I would, but if I put it as a private link, and if you want to tell some of your viewers where they can check it out, they're more than welcome to watch the private link on there. As long as it's not public, then it's all good.
Got it.
So that's just where I'll kind of end it off. But to see the big premiere, June 27th, that's where you'll be able to see it. So if you, whoever's listening to this, if you're coming from Minnesota, Brazil, Guantanamo Bay, break out and come out and see this movie.
And then, yeah, we'll do the secret handshakes to pass the link along so that way it's not public.
Absolutely.
And where can people learn?
Of course,
Go ahead.
Billy, I'd be remiss if we didn't invite you to the premiere as a member of the media. We'll get you a media pass.
Oh, excellent.
And you can come down and get reactions and whatever you want to do. It's going to be a red carpet event, so you're going to see some really cool stuff.
Oh, excellent. I'll let my husband know we've got a dress to impress. That's his favorite part. Yes. Excellent. All right, Michael James, thank you so very much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having us part of this interview. It really means a lot.
Fun.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about substance use and sex. Let's talk about sex while using substances without judgment, because this is about harm reduction, not condemnation. If you choose to use, the goal is to stay informed, be prepared, and use as safe as possible, which can all add to the pleasure that you're seeking. That means knowing your limits, planning ahead, and having the right tools like protection, hydration, Narcan, and a plan to check in with yourself and your partners. Keep the conversation open, honest, and friendly. This approach helps everyone feel respected and supported no matter their choices. And if you do use alone, remember this, you don't have to be completely alone. Consider using the Never Use Alone phone hotline. Someone can stay on the phone with you to help keep you safe. So take care of yourself, take care of each other, and keep it friendly, because safety and support should always come first.
Pride lives here.
As we wrap up this week's episode, we want to thank Michael Entity and James Yaw for joining us and for sharing the story behind Barrett. One of the things we love most about Gay PHX is the opportunity to introduce our listeners to people who are creating something meaningful in our community. Sometimes that's through advocacy, sometimes that's through business, sometimes it's through art, and sometimes it's through stories that remind us of our shared humanity. If today's conversation sparked your interest, be sure to check out Barrett as it premieres this weekend and support independent creators who are telling stories like this that deserve to be seen. And once again, congratulations to Stephen Land for being crowned Mr. Newtown 2026. We can't wait to see what this year brings, and we're looking forward to welcoming him to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone soon. We also want to say thank you to Barbara Seville for doing the Stop That Train screening. It was absolutely fantastic. It was so much fun. It was great seeing the movie with our community, and we hope that they do more things like that. As always, thank you for making it all the way to the end of the show. Gay PHX exists for one simple reason: to help connect our community. Whether you're looking for events, local businesses, community organizations, entertainers, fundraisers, social groups, or just a reason to get out and meet new people, you'll find it at gayphx.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting local creators, local businesses, and local community organizations. Most importantly, thank you for supporting each other. Happy Pride Month, Phoenix. If you see us out and about, come grab a selfie with us. We love you, Phoenix.
Together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.